Oh, well, hey, everybody. We're excited to be together again for another episode of the As You Go podcast. Today, Janelle is interviewing Terry Duick, who's pastor at Winkler MB Church, Gerald Dick, who's the pastor at Westside Community Church, and Ryan Galashin, who's pastor at Selkirk Community Church. And all three of these pastors, together with their church communities, have been involved in serving their neighborhoods, their cities, and their communities in some really cool and unique ways. So we've titled this episode, Good Deeds, Goodwill, and Good News, because good deeds make for goodwill, which allows opportunity to share the good news. And you're going to hear a little bit about that in this conversation with Janelle, Terry, Gerald, and Ryan.
Okay, well, hi, welcome here, gentlemen. It's nice to see you. I've got a few people in the room with me here. I have, well, why don't I let you introduce yourself? We'll start in the top left here. I guess you don't know who's to the top left. So we got Winkler, Terry from Winkler.
Yeah, Terry Duick, at the pastor at the Winkler MB Church.
Awesome, welcome here. And then below we've got Gerald.
Hello, I'm Gerald from Westside Community Church in Morden, Manitoba.
And then we've got Ryan from Selkirk.
Yeah, hi, Ryan Galashin at Selkirk Community Church. Great to be here.
Awesome. Well, it's great to be here all together. What brings us together here? So what brings all these lovely people together into one space today? We are here to talk about some things that all of you guys have your hands in a little bit. We're going to be talking a little bit about how our churches or our people, our congregations are involved in doing good deeds, which then leads to goodwill, which eventually leads to opportunities for good news. So I guess we could start anywhere, really. I guess we'll start with Gerald here on the hot seat. I feel like I can pick on you. So Gerald, why don't you tell us, yeah, I used to work with Gerald, so why don't you tell us a little bit about your work at Westside and some of your involvements in the community there, how you guys are reaching out, doing some good things.
Okay, thanks, Janelle. I guess for us, when you ask the question of creating goodwill in your community, that has been a central theme for us and others, in especially through the last few years of COVID and all that stuff. And especially in our region, there's a lot of factions and a lot of divisiveness, a lot of emotion. So, and with, you know, your hands being tied in certain ways to meet and certain ways to engage in community, we thought, what could we do? So we took on a soup ministry of delivering soup to hospitals and all our schools and daycares and police and whoever we could think of, really. And we did that kind of continually throughout COVID. And I know there has been goodwill created through that. Mm-hmm. And it was just a wonderful way to bless people and appreciate and let them know that we noticed. That was one of the things we did. And that's something everyone could contribute to, be it buying groceries, making soup. We could do that no matter what was going on with restrictions and all that good stuff. And the second part, I don't know if for us was before the shutdown, there was lots of community talk about starting a community center. There is no community center in Morden. And so we were involved in that process. Then everything kind of shut down. And about 6 months into it all, we took a page out of really the church that Terry works with, Winkler MB. And they helped launch a community center in Winkler. And we thought, well, if they can do it, mm-hmm. maybe we could too.
Nothing like a good rivalry.
We borrowed lots of stuff from their journey and started a community center in Morden. And there has been, it's just been an amazing space to provide places for office space, for community meetings, and people can meet free of charge and nonprofits can use the space. Our food bank, we built the food bank area that it could be used for that as well twice a week. Just lots of opportunity to engage with community and bless the community. So those have been two of the things that we've been working on. And it's been part, kind of the best part of your day as you go forward. The best part of your week is, and it creates all these natural points of meeting and meeting and connecting. So it's a few of the things we've been working on.
That's really neat. I love that. I love how, like, you know, it was kind of put on hold and it just took a little ignition there from Winkler, you know, to get you to get it going.
Always leading the way.
Well, like, that's a good segue then into Terry. Why don't you tell us a little bit then about what that looks like for you guys at Winkler?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I think for us, I mean, just a bit of context, we were doing short-term missions and helping, you know, places like in Mexico or other parts of the world, you know, reach their community. And it's triggered for us, like, we're not actually doing that in our own community. And so that, it was kind of out of a mission, short-term mission setting that prompted us to become much more involved in our own community. And I think somewhere along the way, somebody said, yeah, like, the good news should bring good news to people. And so we have just focused on what does it look to meet needs in our community. That led to us being a part of launching Central Station back in like 2012. And it was interesting. I just met with their new executive director this morning. And, you know, they're kind of asking, yeah, we want to sit down with you and find out if we're still kind of living out the original vision of the founders, right? And so it's just been cool to see that grow and take a life of its own and really become something from the community and for the community. But yeah, more recently then, we've done support groups like divorce care for kids, single and parenting. Those have been really good ways to like have like small group conversations with folks. So that would be one. And then would be kind of two key other initiatives that we're getting into. Again, COVID blew up a lot of our community outreach. And so for a while we helped put on what was the Canada Day Carnival for the city with a few other churches. And that grew to be quite a large event. And then we were doing something around Christmas at the same time. Whereas these like large, like we wanted to throw parties, Jesus parties for the community, which is a great idea. But when it's COVID, that becomes really hard to do. So we kind of just decided maybe it's time to switch gears. And so we launched this over the last couple of years, and we kind of did a relaunch this fall as kind of a local care network that we call Pembina Valley Care Collab. And that partners local churches with agencies in town, like Child and Family Services, Genesis House, which is a women's shelter, you know, Central Station, the school division. And so they refer the needs of vulnerable families and children to churches that are part of that network, like WNBC. And then we get to help families. So lots of stories out of that, but you know, hey, this family needs, they don't have a mattress for their kids. Would somebody at church have a mattress they could donate? And so we get those requests now just on a regular basis. And we have a mailing list that goes out to people that that are able to donate items. And so it's been really, really neat to see the stories that have come out of that. And we can get into that at some point.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. And then the other thing would be public transportation in our community is a real need. Winkler's a growing city with no real public transportation. And so we're through Central Station providing shuttle vans for people to get rides to medical appointments or justice appointments, things like that. And so that's been, again, you have an opportunity for volunteer drivers just to sit with people and find out how their day is going and pray for them and make those connections. So it's been good.
Wow, that is really cool. Yes. That is really neat to hear. Thanks for sharing that, Terry. I have a bunch of questions, but I'd like to also move on to Ryan and hear a bit about Selkirk and your community. I know you've had some changes in the last number of years. You're in a new building. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you guys are up to there?
Sure. So the impetus really for us to build a new building was simply out of the fact that our old space was not conducive to a variety of mobility needs, an aging congregation and visitors that would have to climb a number of stairs to get around. And so the leadership team prayed about what to do. And so there was talk about renovating the space. But ultimately, they decided it would be wisest to find some land. And each step of the way, we saw God provide in enormous ways, from the land that we found to just lining up different contractors and all of the hours, tons of hours of people stepping up to volunteer. And that momentum has not stopped. I've never been a part of a church, and I've been part of church life for most of my life, and I've never been a part of a church where there is something happening morning to evening every day of the week. And by and large, a huge percentage of that time in our space and our new building here is the community simply using the space, renting it for a variety of things, but also an opportunity for us to host things like open pickleball and hosting the space for funerals. I could go on, and maybe we'll get a chance to and talk a little more specifically. But we ended up approaching this really open-handed, like, God, we don't know what you want to do, but our desire is that as a community church, we're deeply engaged with our community on a whole new level. And so, God, give us a fresh vision, give us, the creativity and help us to steward what you're about to do in this next chapter of Selkirk Community Church. And what a ride it's been. We had no idea pickleball would be ending up really being the most, the largest single group of people that we get to engage with. And when it really comes down to it, and we all know this, being pastors and folks in ministry, the church is about leading people to Christ and sharing that good news. And so we have been just awestruck at the fact that it used to be for so many approaches to this, we would hope that the folks in our church, and we still hope this, but that they would be the ones inviting people into our space, like walking through our doors on a Sunday, perhaps, or to a special event. It has been incredible to see, I think we calculated it's about a 700 to 1,000 people a week, reoccurring, visits to our building. By and large, most of these folks would probably not set foot in church for the sake of just church. But because we're only one staff right now, myself and just an army of volunteers that are so committed, so willing, just ready to host, to be present, to serve our community in a variety of ways. And you never know what that's going to look like, because the reality is most people are coming out of a crisis, in a crisis, or about to go into a crisis, and the opportunities with everyday regular folks from our community, the opportunities that are going to consistently be in front of us to show a good deed that will help to cultivate some goodwill and trust and authenticity, so that we've earned a right in a sense to be heard. Then we can share the good news while we're sitting with, or playing with, or working alongside, or mourning with at a funeral. So it's just been like, it's been a surprise, but, and it's been, it's been hard on a number of levels. But it's, exciting, and that momentum is still there. And so we're excited. We're looking forward to what is around the corner, and we can share more as we go on about different stories.
Oh, that's awesome. I wish we had like all afternoon. I feel like it's going to be really hard to figure out how to make this podcast into one listening here. But thank you for sharing those stories. Something as I was listening to each one of the stories that you guys shared about your situations and your context and your community, it seems like you're all in different stages of this journey that God has invited you into for your community to become tangibly involved with those in your community. In a really practical, meaningful, real way. And I just love that. I'm so encouraged by these stories. And I'm sure everyone is that's listening. I think something that comes to mind immediately is, like you mentioned, Ryan alluded to the fact, like you're one staff. So how is it that as a church, as a congregation, you have the volunteer base or the buy-in from your community? How did that go? Like, was this led through leadership? Was this a congregant-led thing? Or how for each one of you guys, like, how do you have the support needed to sustain these types of additional works or ministries beyond the regular ministry that you're doing within your church?
You know, it's a great question, Janelle. I think it was very much already part of the DNA of this small congregation in a blue-collar town of Selkirk. You know, it's MB, so there's a work ethic, there's a strong commitment of doing, and just like, all right, you know, it's good to know, it's good to have that knowledge, but how are we going to start to apply this? So already what existed prior to a new building was a desire to serve our community and know what the needs were. I'm just amazed because before I started as the pastor, I was the director at Youth for Christ. And so Youth for Christ and that ministry was a direct beneficiary to the generosity and the financial support, but also keenly aware of some of the needs within our community that our church was ready to just quietly meet. Mm-hmm. And so that was already in the DNA. And when there's new vision, fresh vision and new opportunities, it was really encouraging to see folks that were just about to retire or into their retirement or a new season of their life. And they were just fully on board, already bought in, but just like, hey, I've got extra time. I can. And so we have folks that are serving in what could easily be full-time hours for employment, but they are free to give sort of volunteer that amount of time. And it's just amazing to watch.
Wow, that's huge. How about for you either, Terry or Gerald?
For us, similarly, like there'd be a missional cultural mindset at WMBC that would help with that. I think we've often found just like the Holy Spirit has like created opportunities and led the way. If I think of G-Force, which is kind of our automotive ministry and led to, you know, helping to meet some of the transportation needs. When it originally started, you know, we had a guy in our church running a mechanic shop that said, you know, I have a dream of trying to help people and use my gifts. You know, I'm not a musician, I'm not a Sunday school teacher, but I know how to fix cars. And we're like, okay, let's pray into that. And a couple of days later, somebody came and said, I have a car that I want to give to the church. I'm like, okay. And a couple of days later, we had somebody that came, one of our missionaries, and said, you know, I have somebody that needs a car. So like over the span of a week, it was pretty clear that, you know, there's something here. And when we shifted models from giving vehicles to families to providing kind of a shuttle service there too, we just kind of said, because it happened once, we're like, God, if you want us to change, just let us know and we'll change. The very next day we had a call from Central Station going, hey, we think you could really help us figure out how to do public transportation in Winkler. And so it was like, okay, I think we're going to do this. So I think if you have a posture of like, Holy Spirit, lead the way, and you just show us, like, it doesn't need to be more complicated than that. I mean, it's still kind of messy, obviously, and there's risk involved, but it can be very empowering to kind of get this sense of calling, right?
So, yeah. Well, and it almost sounds like, from what I hear you saying, Terry, you didn't create a program and have this big plan in place and say, okay, now we have to find people to fill all these needs. You were attentive to where God was at work and responded to the people that were already being invited into the work of God and just joined alongside, right? You had the people coming forward, the needs coming forward. And the approach seems less, you know, we have this idea, this plan we've made, now we need to fill the people. You kind of just followed where God was leading. And that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Gerald, tell us. How do you sustain the programs that are the new endeavors that you've engaged in with Westside?
It feels unsustainable. that's all right. Yeah, because I don't know if it's lack of a plan or just trying to be available. For us, I think I echo what has already been shared with, I think it's people want to be part of a church that's active in their community. Mm-hmm. That has to be a part of it. And if it's not, then, and we've talked about this a little bit of, you know, the old saying of, we talk about running a marathon, but if you talk about training for the marathon every week and you never run, mm-hmm. well, that's just soul sucking on every level.
Yeah.
So we want to be able to not just talk about training and what the right things are, but just get active. And it's the main, if it becomes the main focus of who we are, it helps us, it gives us a shot of working through the cultural diversity, the different theological takes, because we're busy, hopefully on mission for what God is calling us to. And it gives us a shot at those conversations anyways, those relationships.
Yeah, no, for sure. There's something attractive about being a part of something where you know God's at work, right? Like people want to be a part of something that makes sense, and helping people that are in need is so practical. You see the needs being met, right? People want to be a part of that. So if that makes sense, yeah, absolutely. I'm so curious. I'm sure you have so many stories you could share. Maybe if you take a moment in your mind here, is there a story that is on the surface of your mind here that's like on the tip of your tongue that you've seen through this experience, through this endeavor of engaging in your community, where you've really seen like God at work, or you've seen the presence of Jesus in the midst of certain encounters or interactions you've had? Is there a story or two that come to mind practically that you could share with us today? Terry.
Yes. Yeah. No, for sure. I can go.
I saw that look. I was like, I'm going to you, Terry.
I don't want to jump in. I'll
invite you.
The over talkers.
Please share.
there'd be, just again, like you kind of go like, that had to be God. Like somebody donated a van with a wheelchair lift and we're like, well, what are we going to do with this? And a couple of days later, somebody calls and goes, I need a vehicle and my son's in a wheelchair, right? Like, it's just like, clearly God is loving me. And then you can share that with them. You can kind of go like, hey, by the way, like this never happens.
Right.
We think God really loves you, right? And what a wonderful like invitation to build a relationship. There would be, just in the last couple of weeks, we helped, again, through this local care network that's called Care Collab. So we had a need brought to us through Genesis House, which is a shelter for abused women. And, you know, a woman and her kid escaping out of some bad situation and actually from Mexico. And so we, she needed everything, like beds, dressers, table and chairs, kitchen, like a whole household she needed. And our church was just for some reason primed and just started like within 10, 15 minutes of me putting out the need, just things started piling up, like just, you know, here you go. And so a few weeks later, we got to bring all of this. And it was so much like I needed guys with trucks and trailers to move. Wow. And so that was like, that's just fun. It's just fun to give gifts, right? It's fun to come in. And so you get to come into their home and have conversation and meet some of the kids. And you're kind of doing this again in partnership with Genesis House, who, so like, it's like wins all around. So the church gets to like love on people, and that's a win, and get excited, right? So my guys that were part of the moving crew, they're bought in. Like you call me anytime now and I'm there, because they had such a fun time giving hours of their time to lift heavy furniture. but they saw the impact firsthand. So that's a, you know, the church gets involved. The staff at Genesis House, you know, numerous times brought to tears because of like how much love is being poured onto this family. And then you have the family, right? So, you know, the mom is, so they're getting flack. They came out of Mexico, come out of a religious conservative background, and they're getting flack from their family because of the connection to our church. And she said to them, why, and they started coming to our church as a result of this. And she said, like, why wouldn't we go to WNBC? They're the only church that's showed us love. Right. And all it was, again, was just good deeds. Like it was acts of kindness. You had, we got a chance to pray with them and show them love and just invite into belonging. And yeah, beautiful things happen, I think, when the church is on the front lines of caring for people.
Totally. Ryan, you got a story for us or two? How you see Jesus at work in the midst of this?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, there's one particular story. This was early into just what we were doing, having that gym space available for the community to rent and use. There was a girls' basketball practice or game. I can't remember, but one young lady, so clearly God had been tugging and speaking to her. Not coming from a Christian home. Her mom grew up Catholic. She likely had some exposure to church, but not compelling enough necessarily for her to, or her mom to be regularly active in any kind of church community. But it was clear after I got to know them and this young girl, playing volleyball that day in our church, that she was responding to another nudge of the Holy Spirit to turn her face towards Jesus. And, you know, just simply the fact that she was playing volleyball in this building that happened to also be a church. She went to her mom and said, I want to be able to meet and talk with the pastor, and I have questions. And it led to some really wonderful conversations that I got to have with her mom and then with both of them. And then it led to her wanting to be baptized. Wow. And so it was incredible to have the privilege of simply being present, simply being available, and having that proximity to sort of be available to begin to answer some questions and listen to story. And really, it's humbling because, as I said, God was already working in her heart, as he is with so many people. Mm-hmm. And I think that we want to be authentically living our lives in parallel and alongside people. And it's stories like these, again and again, where people, I'll be playing pickleball, with some of the new friends that we get to have now from our community coming and playing pickleball. And on Sunday, I will notice someone from pickleball, show up at church, and it's really a joy, to be already in relationship and then for there to be some curiosity, like, wait a second, you know, these people, they're asking about my spouse who recently passed away. They're asking, they're following up about the cancer that I'm going through. They're greeting us with smiles. We know some of the struggles they have and there's hope they, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, because now there's just natural, organic relationship building happening. We have, I think, just a unique position to be able to insert the good news. And sometimes all that is shared, a shared ecosystem of information. What I mean by that is our gym lobby and our main lobby, the screens that are around the building, the walls that have scripture on it, Sometimes it's simply an indirect invitation. Hey, join us. We're going to have this, and you are most welcome to come and be part of it. And so otherwise, I don't know beyond, community billboards in town or direct invitation. So much of our community that shows up for judo or Ukrainian dance or basketball or volleyball or pickleball or whatever it might be, birthday parties, they're seeing an invitation, or they are even hearing a personal invitation as well. And so it's things like that seem to just be a regular occurrence, and it's pretty fun to be part of.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. It's interesting. My cousin, who had left the church and had a really broken experience with the church and was really hurt by them, sent out birthday invitations for her son a couple months ago. And I was surprised. It was at the church in Selkirk because it was close by and it was a space to rent. And I was surprised. And she had expressed to me some level of intrigue by a church that functions like this. And so even just normalizing the space, I think, has found this the barrier feels like it's less for those that may have baggage, right? So that was kind of cool to hear that story and that connection. Gerald, I just wanted to get to you. Do you have a story or two how you've seen God at work in your community?
Sure. Those are great stories. Thanks. Yeah. Oh, if you can redeem pickleball like Ryan, unbelievable. Unbelievable. What can God do?
Come on.
Anyone under 30? Anyone under 30 play pickleball? I don't know.
It's happening.
All the pros. Yeah, it's happening.
Okay.
So for us, I think one of the fun things that we've done, we talked about front porch, we talked about vision casting and how just what you're talking about, Janelle, getting people into your space or welcoming people and blessing people. We thought, how could we do that? So we looked into a coffee shop, and that's like the awesome, terrible idea. But ultimately what came available to us was a coffee truck. And so we bought a coffee truck about a year and a half ago, and we thought, like, that's just a great way to lose some money and bless our community. So we've been going around the last year with lattes and training baristas, and we found out we had a bunch of baristas in our community we never knew about. And we have just been able to go around to festivals and farmers markets and funerals and walks and parades, and it's just been a really great way to bless people. Often we're giving them away. And probably one of the ones for me was we made ourselves available to the Orange Shirt Day Truth and Reconciliation walk. And we just said, look, if you want us there, we'll be there. And for lattes and lemonades for the kids and whatever if you think we want us, our presence. So they said, they had a meeting, and at the meeting they said, yep, if you could be there by the end of the walk, in between the walk and the lunch, we'd like to have you there. So we were there, gave out like 300 lattes and lemonades. And it was just a really great thing to be a part of, to go for the walk. And as you're listening to the speeches beforehand, you see how you listen, you hear, and you witness how the church historically, the role of the church and the harm that has been caused in the name of religion and the name of God. And it does make me shrink back a little bit. Here's this coffee truck. And we truly want to bless you. We don't want to make it weirder. So at the very end, one of the leaders, the drummers, says, I'd like, he's the very last person to get a latte. So he says, I want to talk to you. So I go outside the coffee truck, and he says, why are you here? I said, he goes, no, I want to know why you're here. And I just, what's the answer? I don't know. It's a complicated day. And I just know the reason. I think for us is Jesus. We just want you to know you're loved, and we understand some of the complications. And he just looks at me and goes, Jesus? And I'm like, he goes, I don't know about Jesus, but I like that you're here. Thank you for being here. And it was like, it felt like a tense moment for me. It was a tense moment for me, but I just thought, boy, if we could be part of that redemption process and healing process and just this, maybe a very, very small way in how people view church, how people view God, God's people, Jesus, if we can be, move the needle in whatever small way, this little coffee truck can help with that. And it gets our people real busy, involved, trained, and it's been a lot of fun. So that's one little story, and we hope for many more.
I love it. I feel like, Gerald, I want to talk to you like a year from now. I feel like that was the beginning of a story for you. I don't know. I feel like there's more to that story, but yeah, thank you guys for sharing. I really appreciate that. I'm wondering, I mean, I've been talking to you and with you for the last little while. I'm wondering, do you guys have any questions for each other? I mean, maybe you talk when we're not together. It's very likely, but yeah, what kinds of questions do you have for one another in the ministries you're doing?
Yeah. Telling Terry this yesterday, we've been ripping ideas off for a long time. And I just love to hear these stories. And Ryan, like, he is right, like, about the very DNA of Selkirk and how they use their facility and the vision for it all. And so the volunteer base, how do you care for them? How do you make sure they are here tomorrow and months to come?
Yeah, that's a challenge, right? So let me just preface it by saying we're cognizant of the fact that as we experience some the byproduct of just being right smack dab in the middle of your community and opening your space up is I think you're going to experience some of that rapid growth, and it's happening. And so we realize that we're going to have to prayerfully consider who the next hire is at this church, but also continue to, foster, a culture of serving and volunteering. And, so to answer your question, I'm checking in with our volunteers, particularly the ones who, give a lot, and just finding out, first of all, if they need anything from me, and responding to some of these their concerns as quickly as I possibly can. In some way, trying to find a rhythm that suits them the best, because we all know that not everyone's schedule is the same. Some can give lots of time, some can't. I think that there needs to be, with the leadership, myself, the board, just a sensitivity to the amount of time that people can give, and not having a this is how it has to look for everyone or whatever. But it is hard, Gerald. I appreciate the question, because the last thing I want is for people to burn out and feel like they were just a means to the end, and that they were not cared for, and that they were just asked to do so much. But I also think that when they're excited to do it and they feel like they're being that their gifts are being used, and so all of that has to be sort of a discerning, okay, you know, how is this person doing, and how can I support them best? I don't know if that answers it.
Yeah, and I just asked, tricky. Because that's a concern for us too.
Wait. Yeah.
Others.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we turned down our pickleball league this year to use our space, and now I'm feeling like maybe the Holy Spirit's telling me a different direction. I don't know.
Going 3 days a week here and 2 evenings.
Wow, yeah. Pickleball's where it's at. This is news to me. I'm not in the know.
I think what we found, you know, even when you talk of caring for volunteers, is like when you create that missional excitement of like use your gifts, go after your passions. Like if you have something that you want to do to impact the community, you know, let us know, and we want to support you in that. Is like there's times actually where you can't do everything as a church, and then how do you still empower people to follow what they feel is God's leading, but kind of not get involved as a church? Because people feel that no pretty strongly. So it's that's been a tricky thing for us is, cause you do have to focus and kind of stick to what is your, where you feel like God's, you know, uniquely calling. But it's that like seeing as many people released, but also the church organizationally can only do so much. Right. So that's been a tension. I think that we have not, well, we just said it has come up over and over.
Like someone coming forward saying, you know, I'm feeling called to invest in this thing. And it's just, there's one person in your congregation and you're thinking, okay, how do we make this a church-wide ministry or do we bless you in that and pray for you and encourage you, right? That's a real tension to hold. And I'm glad you actually almost segue us really well. Like, Terry, something I want to keep in mind as we're doing this, like I'm so encouraged and inspired by these stories and they're wonderful. We have listeners here in this podcast is for the everyday ordinary Christian who's just walking with God and wants to live more missionally. And we want to leave you, our listeners, with like a challenge, an encouragement, something they can tangibly take from this that they can apply in their lives today to do some of these types of works, to be involved in their community in that way. What word of encouragement or challenge or what tool do you want to offer to our listeners today? Gerald.
Well, I don't know. A line I always think of is from the classic movie Robots, see a need, fill a need. I think that's join God in what he is doing. What does your community need? Absolutely. Another great line for me that I love is, what would is just the right thing to fail at? So just to train myself not to be risk averse, I think anyone can incorporate those thoughts.
See a need, fill a need. Don't be risk averse. Good words. Others.
Just recently at our church, a sermon that was preached, it wasn't my sermon, and so I'm going to kind of steal this, but the main takeaway was, what is in your hands? And it's a great question. Sometimes you look into your hands and you will conclude that they're empty, that you really haven't got anything to give, which ends up being a lie because we all have something in our hands and we just need to bring it to the Father and ask him to bless it. And he's the one who empowers and he's the one who multiplies it. And so it may seem little and insignificant, but God, just as Jesus was able to feed the 5,000, the multitudes with a little boy's lunch, I think it is an act of faith, bringing what little you have, and it may seem insignificant. And there's always big question marks on God. Is this going to impact? Is this going to make a difference? You know, we're just showing up. It feels like we're just showing up and that's it. Or planting a tiny little seed. But God is by the work of the Holy Spirit, God is the one that empowers it and then does the miracle of multiplying it and for his kingdom, impact. So,
yeah.
Those are, that's all gold. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, wow, this is good. Yeah. It's rich.
Yeah. I mean, for the average day, well, we're all normal everyday people.
Yeah. Some of us more than others.
Yeah. Like it is that idea of like, what do you have to offer? What are your passions? What are your gifts? I mean, I think of, you know, Ryan, as you were talking, I just thought of Zechariah 4, like, you know, don't despise the day of small beginnings. And I think the verse goes on to say, like, God loves to see the work begin. There's something to that effect where, like, he loves to see it start. And so I think one story quick is just like last year there was a mom who just noticed in her class for girls or for the rest of for girls' friends who are of varying shades of skin color, the markers only had one skin color, right? And so you can buy the markers that have a whole bunch, like the full spectrum of skin color so that people can feel represented. And so that was just on our heart to like I want to get a set of marker for my class. And then she thought, well, but there's other classes in my school. And then she thought about other schools. And then she's like, hey, can I just like, would it be okay if I ask other people in the church to like donate these markers so that kids in our schools of Winkler can color themselves in their own skin color. Wow. This was like a really simple thing, but like you can do it on your own, but like the church is there to like, it's okay to like ask for help too, right? And so it became just this simple, organic, hey, if you want to help Kayla get markers into the school, go talk to Kayla. Like, and so it's just, yeah, that's just a story that comes to mind.
Yeah. Awesome. Wow. That's great, you guys. Like, thank you so much. I feel like, you know, it's not just Winkler MB and Westside and Selkirk. Like, we're all in this community, right? Even within the MB family here, but then beyond that, as just believers, as followers of Jesus. And so this idea of even, it's not as a silo on your own, you do this thing. Like, I love that in each one of your stories too, we talk about that partnership that you all have in all of your different areas. And that's so amazing. And I just am so thankful for the work that you're doing. Bless you and your communities for everything that you guys are doing, and keep up the good work that leads to the goodwill, that leads to the good news, you guys. Bless you.
I took three really small notes from this conversation. One, somebody asked, start by asking the question, what are your gifts? And come and ask church leadership, could you help me dream into how to use this? Like, if you know you have gifts or skills or talents or abilities, you're like, okay, I know I'm good at this, but I have no idea how to put this to work. Like, ask your leaders and shepherds and ask for help, and they can dream with you and find something.
It might already be something that's been on their heart.
Yeah.
And they had an idea, but they didn't have anybody that with the skills or abilities to do these things.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a super awesome pickleball player. Like, what can I do with that skill? Like, I'm so good at it.
That takes off at churches now, though. I think pickleball is kind of a dead sport.
Yeah, talk to Selkirk, like, about that.
Pickleball is the most relevant, example, because it is happening everywhere.
Like, it's hilarious, like, to me how it was created as a geriatric sport.
Yeah.
Right? Like, this is something that old people can do.
Well, they use wiffle balls.
But now there's like young, like really young people in there, and it's like super competitive.
And televised.
It's hilarious to me.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. Anyways, that just happened at Eastview too. We had somebody came forward and they're like, actually another same guy. And his spouse came forward and was like, we're really into pickleball. Can we start pickleball here?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
We're like, sure. And then he's also like, oh, also, I'm a chef. Can I do a cooking course here? And there's like,
nice. And it's nice.
Like, we're just like, he comes forward and he's like, here's the gifts I have. Could you dream with me into how to use this? And we're like, absolutely.
Right.
And it's, I mean, they're not even members yet in our church. They're just, but they're,
that's awesome.
Like, they're participating in some really cool stuff, and they've come in with gifts, and they've asked, how can I use these here? And it's been so easy for us as leaders to be like, we'd love to dream with you into that and come up with some stuff. And it's been cool.
Well, that was like recently. So in the vision statement at the meeting place, they talk about serve where needed as a piece. And we're really emphasizing on that this year, this past year and a half, we've been talking about just this idea of serve where needed. Mm-hmm. And a huge thing is like, we're not going to create program and create things as a staff and as a team of leadership and say like, here's areas you can serve. We want you to feel like what's happening in your life? What's happening in your community? How are you feeling compelled to serve and being invited? Now bring it forward and we're gonna support you and run with it. So it was really cool because there was an older couple that were like, after church, we've always been kind of picking up garbage. We just noticed there's a lot of garbage downtown. We just pick it up. And they're like, we feel like there's a need here. Can we start a TMP cleanup crew? So every Sunday in the morning or after church, like whoever wants to be part of. And they like took leadership of it. They found volunteers. They found people who are excited about it. And they created teams. And now there's like teams that go out. They are like the TMP cleaning crew. They have their little, like, we provided bins and those garbage grabbers. But it was this whole organic, like, you had a vision. You wanted to serve in this capacity. You felt like you could meet that need and you were excited about it. So it went, right? Yeah. And there's other stories like that, which is like, that just makes a lot of sense. Like, I liked
how
they talked about that. Like, all three of them kind of named that organic nature of listen, be attentive, and then respond, right?
Mm-hmm. I'd love to go back historically and get a better understanding of where some of the service pieces of the church landed. Like, if you look back at hospitals, like, birthed out of the church.
Yep.
Or education in a lot of ways. Like a lot of these things were birthed out of a need that somebody saw and started to meet and grew into something else, right? I mean, we don't always perceive those things as something of the church, but even I'd love to have a better understanding historically where some of these things have rooted. And not that these things will always become. Pickleball is not going to become the next hospital, but it is a way for us to be able to connect with our communities, right? Yeah. It is the way to open up these doors. Like I know at Fort Garry, there is pickleball almost every single day, and half the time it is just community people that are doing it. They're just community seniors groups that are coming in and doing this stuff, right? So it's not always about the big things, but sometimes it has birthed into some huge things.
Well, okay, think of Winkler. Like Terry was talking about this transportation deal, right? They don't have very good public transit or transportation in Winkler. Not even thinking about that, being a city girl, thinking, well, I have access to taxis, Uber, buses, whatever. But that's that could be big for like the city of Winkler, right? Like that's a lot of need that they're meeting for everyone. Everyone has that need, right?
Yeah.
That was really cool.
I love the idea of like thinking back historically, right? And so my mind already goes to early church. Like, where did they start? Like, what were the needs among them? And it was orphans and widows, like who are, you know, rejected,
vulnerable.
And this was such a priority for the early church, right? That so much so that the apostles, like, we actually need to organize this and we need to organize this well so that not one gets overlooked.
Yeah,
I'm like, yes, I love that. So paying attention to the needs among us, both in our church body and then in our communities and neighborhoods, and saying, what is the things that we as a church or we as a small group or people or whoever, what are the things that we cannot overlook that God's actually calling us to here, and start there? And and then you just hear through these stories, like it all starts with that. And then from there, like this ministry just happens because you are faithful to the things that God is calling you just to simply serve. And as you show up and as you're present, God's creating opportunities to share the gospel, to share stories and spirits empowering the words and all of it. Like it just starts to flow and happen naturally out of that good deeds first. Is it good deeds first?
Good deeds, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel, like thinking about that, not every good deed is going to turn into a ministry, right? And I think that we don't not do good deeds because it's not going to be a ministry. I like that Gerald kind of talked about the hot chocolate, coffee, latte, whatever truck that they had. And the guy's like, why are you here? And he's like, just to love you, like to serve you. And there's not like, it turned into this huge, deep, like transformative evangelical moment. Like
I don't know. Coffee's a pretty deep transformative moment.
It's huge. Yeah, coffee's great.
It's necessary.
But like it didn't devalue it to me. I heard that and I was like, that's beautiful. Because sometimes like I feel like there's always, what's your hidden agenda? What do you want out of this?
Yeah.
I'm not coming to your church if you give me this coffee, right? There's this,
right.
People are skeptical of good deeds because I think in the past we've used them as hook, like a hook to do something. But can it just be about the goodness? Like, can we just be good and trust that the goodness is a starting point and like the Lord does the work. Like the Lord is doing the leading. You're being available. You're responding. Like I think all these people had stories from different stages in that journey. Good deeds, goodwill, good news.
Yeah.
Right. And our hope is it leads to good news. Our hope is that goodness leads to good news, but good news can't be good unless it's good.
And I think that goodwill piece, like that middle piece is, it speaks to building relationship. It speaks to a longer term than standing on a street corner with a sign that is telling people to turn to Jesus that has no goodwill in it, like because it has no good desire for relationship with people, right? So I think like those three components are so good, and it's easy to do good deeds and try to get to good news so fast. But if we skip goodwill and that desire to actually build relationship with people and journey with people for a while, like we don't need to rush to good news.
Right.
We can actually like sit with what the Spirit is doing here, build that relationship that the good deeds build, and then just wait on the Spirit for when the good news comes.
Well, and I think we too often get into the formula. We have to do the one to equal the next to get to the next one. And if we're just willing to lay that formula down and just say, no, God called me to this, And who knows what fruit this will ever bear. It might never be within my own generation that this fruit might actually bear something.
Yeah, true.
But that might actually bring goodwill to the church in this neighborhood in two or three generations down the road, that people will remember, oh, you remember that people, those people that did this stuff here way back when? Who knows what that is? But I just think we have to lay down some of the it has to equal this one, or our own expectation of what it's going to actually end up at. And I think part of that is us just trusting the Lord, that the Lord has something greater for it. If he's called us to it, if he's called us to engage it, he has something for it. Mm. It's never going to come void.
Yeah.
I think too, like, we might overanalyze it and say, okay, I'm just an ordinary person, like, living my life. Like, I don't hear God, or, you know, I've heard a lot of people say, like, God doesn't speak to me that way. How do I know that God led me and put me in this place? I think that if you're doing a good thing, I don't see how God is not inviting you to do that. Like, a part of me is like, I think we sometimes even overcomplicate it. Like, yes, God does speak to us and very clearly leads us. And I believe that he does that for all people. And we experience it in different ways. But I think for anybody, the everyday, ordinary Christian, a person that's just like, I'm just like a baby Christian, if your like heart is in a place of service and you're looking to like do a good thing, a good deed, God is using that. Like, you don't have to question that and be like, I don't know, did God put me in this place?
Mm.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He put goodness in your heart. God is good.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, the simplicity of God actually coming and pouring out of us, right? Like that, maybe we put too much of it was us that did the good deeds, but well, it is a transformative work that happened in my own heart that led me to see the need that was there that like compelled me to step into it. And I want to step into this because there's a need that I saw and a passion that I had, and I stepped into it. Wait a second, that was Jesus pouring out of me. I just didn't even notice it sometimes. Right. But just walking that out, I totally agree. You're just continuing to walk those things out and seeing God pour out of you and his glory shining around you because of those things.
It's a change in posture, I think, too, like listening to those guys talk about their communities and what that looks like in each of their respective communities. There was this definite choice that I saw each one of them in their communities made to say, we're going to choose to do this. We're going to choose to look at goodness. We're going to choose to look at needs. There was a choice to take on that posture of goodness, right? I don't think it will organically happen if we're kind of just like, well, I'm never experiencing good deeds. Well, you could choose to do some good things.
Sure. Yeah. And I one of the things I'm wondering about is like, what are the hurdles that get in the way of us just participating in the good deeds, like less in a strategized way or programmatic way or a big planned way, but the as you go kind of ways. And I think honestly, like how busy we are and how like we just don't have time when we see a need to stop. Even like somebody asking for money on the corner, like what would it look like to like pull over, find a spot and walk up and like go park and go buy lunch? Man, that feels like it costs us so much, but 15, 20 minutes, maybe a half hour, or maybe you build a relationship and you take like an hour and go for it. What would that do? You know, I wonder if, what do we need to surrender in our time to be able to do good deeds as we go?
Something, Johnny, that you sparked in my mind when we were talking about that is this idea of not just time that it takes, but I feel like our generation has become less invested in the well-being of the community. And maybe this is an overgeneralization and it could be very much true, but I feel like, for example, the other summer, this past summer, we had a flat tire on the side of the highway, number one highway on a long weekend coming home on a Monday. So you can imagine the traffic. It's crazy. We couldn't get our tire pump to work, whatever. For whatever reason, we couldn't get, there was no spare. So we needed to flag someone down because we couldn't really do anything until we got to a gas station. And it took us so long.
Wow.
So many people drove by us.
Really?
And I was shocked because I thought, like, there's so many, like, I feel like ages ago, you saw someone on the side of the highway, you're like, oh, I'm going to pull over.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's like we're aware of stranger danger or we think like everyone has a cell phone. They're fine. Yeah. They can take care of themselves.
Right.
We or someone else will help them. Like, but it was just mind like for me thinking it feels different than it would have years ago. Like in that regard, or even just the idea of like, oh, I'm like, and this may be true for some people, but in a lot of communities, like I'm short a cup of flour. I'm just going to run to, you know, Sandy's house across the street and grab some flour. Mm. I don't feel that that's as common these days. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, this idea of what's preventing us, it might be time, but even I think our culture is less neighborly. I don't know, is less.
Oh, we're so individualized now. We just live in our own house and we go into our garage and we hardly are outside interacting with the neighborhood around us.
Yeah, there are movements, right? Like the Pay It Forward and stuff. But
like people desire that connection though. So when you are the one who is asking for the cup of flour or who is going like and knocking on a door and just saying hello or like getting to know your neighbor, like when you actually do those things, people appreciate it because like deep down we are people who are created by God longing for connection. And so there's a social norm that's been created that's moving us away from being connected with each other, like life to life and in person. And people are longing for that. And Christians have an incredible opportunity to be on mission and be those people who can reach out and build that connection and model what it looks like to be a good neighbor and create like really cool neighborhoods in the places where we live.
Okay. So this is one question I have, like, and I think Ryan kind of talked about this a little bit, or his community kind of speaks to this idea a bit, is that we're also living in a culture right now that doesn't really trust the church.
Mm. Yeah.
Right. Totally. We're living in a community that people have been hurt by the church in different ways, or there's some way that the larger community around us does not appreciate the church. Yeah. And Ryan, like, they're really intentional. They're just a community space. People are coming and using their space all the time. They're building relationship with the community. They're blessing their community in whatever way they can with having this space. And so how do we start to recreate that narrative where we are those people that are stepping out and doing that service, that are bringing the cup of flour or whatever, are connecting with the people around us, are doing those things to draw people out of their spaces, that they're being able to redefine the story that has been built in their head of who a Christian is and what the church is about and that I'm hated or whatever by this. But no, God loves you. God loves the church. God loves to draw you into his community and has something there for you.
And we don't even start with that, right? It's just like, I love you.
Yeah.
And I care about you just because you're human and I've come into contact with you. I care about you.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden they encounter a person and maybe our good deed is just being a friend or just being a loving person. And I think it's what Jesus talks about being the light. Right? Like there's something about us that's different and maybe that's our good deed,
yeah,
which leads to that goodwill, which then leads us to share, hey, did you know God loves you too?
Yeah.
I think, well, Matt, you alluded to this, like the idea that people have created about church. I think there's some validity in those views because for the longest time, I know of story upon story, and it still happens today, where there's strings attached to the good deeds, right? And it's like, if you come to this camp, if you say this prayer, if you have this service, like, right, there's pieces attached to the good deed. And the heart behind that, I think, ultimately, like, is good. It might just be misunderstood. And I think that's where we need to clarify and say our good deeds can't be tied with a condition. They can't be a conditional good deed. Mm-hmm. God's love is unconditional. And I think that's where we can start to separate that and break down that stereotype, is build the trust of saying, I'm not doing this. Like, if you never step foot in my church, like, I would love for you to do that. But beyond you stepping in our church, I'd love for you to experience God's love and know what it's like to be loved by God so that there's opportunity for you to experience God. And when you experience God, transformation happens. You can't deny an encounter with God.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're here, and then we're here to walk through that with you. That's our hope. But we can't put that condition on our goodness. That's, I think, what's put us in this place of being mistrusted, is everything's tied. And that's sometimes a fear that holds me back. Like, if I'm going and being a good person, and at the end I feel like I have to tag on, Well, I do this because Jesus loves me and Jesus loves you. I hesitate sometimes when I know that's true, but I'm like, well, then it feels like this was like a conditional
or a strategy.
Or, but yeah.
I've gotten to the point where I've done something really nice for somebody. You know, I really stepped out. Like this, I took all my time away. I parked my car. I helped you change your tire. Mm. Whatever I did, I did some really good stuff here. I have to say, God bless you. Mm. At the end, so I have to add some tagline here to make sure that you know what I did was because God loves you. Like it feels like I have to make this happen, and I sometimes don't maybe allow the space for God to do the stuff without me having to step in and make sure that I make sure it happens. I don't know. I tried to take control of it again.
Yeah, I think I want to like caution against like overthinking it too much as well. Because I think like it's a it feels like a fine line between what you're describing as conditions and motive. Yeah. And I think it's like totally okay that we're honest with our motive. And it, you know, sometimes our good deeds are going to create opportunity where people ask like, wow, why did you go out of your way for that?
Yeah.
It's like, well, because I love God and I've experienced God's love and he tells me to love other people, but I don't have a condition on you. Like now that I helped you change your tire, I expect you at my church or, hey, I get on my vehicle to help you change your tire and I will only help you if you promise you're coming to see me on Sunday. Like, I don't know any Christians that do that.
You don't?
No. No?
I do.
You do?
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
There are Christians that exist like this.
Who won't change a tire unless you promise to come to church
on
Sunday.
Well, I mean, I don't know about the change a tire thing, but like there's definitely some that will like put a condition on a need or a good deed.
Well, I think maybe if I think outside of that circumstance, I think I know what, I know what you're talking about where it's like, okay, we're providing meals to people in need of meals, but we're not providing those meals until first you sit through this 30-minute sermon.
Or whatever,
and then we will provide the meals, right? And it's like, that's kind of conditional good deed.
I think for me, the challenge is just that exactly you named it. Like, because there's been such a skeptical nature, and I think thinking back to these three churches and how they're doing it, they're not trying to hide that they're a church. They're not trying to say, hey, we're not believers, we're not Christians. There's no hidden agenda. There's no hiding. But there's also this organic, like, we're not leading with that either.
Yeah.
They're not saying, hey, the Winkler MB bus is here because the church is giving you the church transportation that's named the church transit. Like, it's they're not hiding who they are. They're not trying to pretend they're not who they are. They're not trying to pretend that it's not God that invited them to do this and be a part of it.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's a safety and a security in knowing, like, we don't need to go overboard here in terms of like, we have to make sure. I feel like there's an intention, like, let's be honest. Let's not, like, there's nothing to be ashamed of. You don't need to be ashamed of the gospel. Like, totally. If it truly is good news, like, I fundamentally believe if you believe the gospel is good news, you do not need to ever be ashamed of sharing that with someone. And if it feels like you're sharing something and you're like, ugh, like, this feels so forced and so unnatural and someone's going to hate me for it, I mean, maybe wonder what it is that you're believing about the good news.
I love everything about what you just said. And I think that helps me clarify this difference between like condition and motive. And I think if there is a takeaway for our listeners in the as you go piece is like, don't put conditions on your good deeds. But if you feel like yourself is going there, like evaluate your motives.
Good. Okay, so we have come to this place again at the podcast where we have to ask the question because we all want you to have something to take away from here.
As you go.
As you go.
What are you going to take away from this? Like, what is something that is actually practical? Like, you maybe won't have the latte truck that's going to pull up.
I wish I had a latte
truck. Everybody should have a latte truck. I know.
Yeah. Go to Gordon and take that truck from Gerald.
Not bad. Or maybe you are going to supply
a borscht truck.
Oh, that's next. Yeah. The borscht truck. Maybe you're not going to supply the transportation needs of a whole town, city, whatever Winkler is.
okay, we're going to call it a city.
Yeah,
nice. arrived.
So maybe you don't have the ability to provide all the transportation needs for the city of Winkler, or maybe you aren't going to be able to have a large enough space to invite your neighborhood to come and have their birthday parties and everything at. Okay, but what are something that personally we as people within the church, like I love the stuff that you were saying, Johnny, about like if you have a gift, if you have a passion about something and you want to do a cooking class or you want to do some pickleball stuff or you do love painting, you want to do a paint night or like what are the things that you love doing and that you'd love to invite community into doing with you?
Yeah, yeah, totally. And I think the big thing is like, who are you partnering with to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, where are you going? And hopefully, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're connected in with a local church somewhere. But think about those gifts. Think about those talents. Think about those things that you have. And maybe you don't have a good idea of how you could put that to use, but go and ask a leader or a mentor in your life and ask them to dream with you. Like, how could I use what God has given me to bless my neighborhood, to start something good deed related simply for the sake of doing a good deed and creating a space.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, something came to mind because you're thinking, what can I do? What can I use? And some people say, well, I don't really have any special gifts or talents. We just recently heard a lady, so I'm quoting someone who's quoting someone else, so I could get this wrong, but this lady at our church was quoting a book by Corrie Ten Boom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And in this story, she was talking about a woman who had MS really bad, and she couldn't move at all, anything, lost all function of her body. Her husband had to take care of her. They were believers in Russia somewhere, and she only had like the function of one finger, really.
Wow.
And what she did with her time was she slowly punched away at a typewriter to translate all this Christian literature into different languages with her one finger.
Wow.
And the premise that she took from this was, if like you think you've been forgotten and God hasn't given you a gift, God has given everyone something that they can use, even if it's just your finger.
Yeah.
Like this idea of everyone, no one's been forgotten, no one's been missed.
Yeah.
So if you're listening to this, like you have not been forgotten, you have not been missed. There's something unique to who you are and who you've been designed to be that you can offer as goodness, as a good deed. Like you can do something for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. So what is that way? What is that one finger that you are allowed to move today that you can finally, you know, use for God's glory in serving people around you? This episode of the As You Go podcast has been supported and sponsored by the Winkler MB Church. So thanks so much, Winkler MB, for sponsoring this episode. It has also been audio engineered by Aiden Penner and does his masterful work to make our voices sound nice and clear for all of you to hear. Anyway, have a great week. Bye.